On the night of Saturday, November 7th, 2020, I waited for my brother amid a sea of jubilant voters at the Chase Center on the riverfront in Wilmington, Delaware. Loudspeakers were blasting upbeat music, and lights glittered over the Christina River. Earlier that afternoon, 4 days after the election had been held, the Associated Press finally called the race. Joe had won Pennsylvania, giving us an insurmountable lead over the four-year nightmare that was Donald Trump. In a few minutes, Joe would come out and declare victory to the waiting crowd of supporters, despite the fact that his opponent had not conceded, nor would he ever, and despite the fact that there were still protesters chanting, "Stop the count," outside voting facilities. The worst was yet to come, though we could not have imagined it at the time. For this one moment, at least, none of that mattered. My husband Jack and I took in the scene. Like the rest of the family, we were stationed in one of the Jeep Wranglers that the campaign had secured for the event. Jack was in the driver's seat. I was standing up on the passenger seat, head and arms poking through the open sunroof. Looking around at the countless smiling eyes shining above Biden-Harris face masks, I felt a wave of gratitude and affection. These people knew Joe, had known Joe, for decades, ever since his first campaign for public office, a county council race in 1970. Having been his campaign manager for that race, and having run every Senate campaign and two presidential campaigns since, I knew them just as they knew Joe. They were our friends, our neighbors, our people, the people who'd brought Joe to the dance, as he would say in his speech a few moments later. We were just a 5-minute drive from the Hotel DuPont, the place where we had launched Joe's first Senate campaign in 1972. At that time, I was a 26-year-old high school teacher. Joe was a 29-year-old lawyer. That year, we campaigned in supermarket parking lots and snapped Polaroids with shopkeepers. I recruited my students to knock on doors and drop campaign literature throughout the state. We hit every small town parade, block party, and parish festival from the day school let out for the summer to Election Day in November. The press called us the Children's Crusade because we did everything with throngs of middle and high school students. A combination of Joe's vision and the encouragement of their 8th grade and social studies teachers, Joe's wife, Nelia, and I. The Democratic Party saw us as sacrificial lambs. No one thought we had a chance in hell of winning the seat. Others saw us as a nuisance. Our opponents didn't see us at all. I was flying by the seat of my pants. I hadn't the slightest clue what I was supposed to be doing. That didn't stop me, though. We were as scrappy as we were inexperienced. When Joe won by an astoundingly slim margin of 3,163 votes, he became the first United States Senator either of us had ever known. And on top of that, he became one of the youngest senators ever. On Election Day, he was too young even to be sworn in. He had to wait until November 20th, his 30th birthday. Between that first victory and this one, decades later, lay several lifetimes worth of triumphs and disappointments, joys and heartbreaks, serendipity and loss. To that point, 2020 had been grueling and dispiriting. After a disappointing fourth-place finish in the Iowa caucuses on February 3rd, we were declared dead in the water. The New York Times called it a damaging blow. Joe called it a gut punch. Joe's campaign was functioning on a shoestring, with the distinct possibility that he would have to take out a loan to cover expenses. People were beginning to talk about an exit strategy. Meanwhile, the pandemic had turned campaigning norms, along with all other facets of American life, upside down. Joe thrives on person-to-person human connection, and suddenly, the only new faces we saw were on Zoom, a communication medium combining the awkward pauses of a phone conversation with the discomfort of staring at yourself in a mirror. Nothing about the path of the campaign had been ideal. But Joe never lost his quiet confidence or his ability to soldier forward. He remained clear-headed and calm.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.